join us for the Pledge of Allegiance as we begin our meeting?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning again on this kind of a dreary morning. After a full weekend of eating, to make that pledge to say I'm never going to eat again. We'll begin our agenda with Dave here.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
He's been Dave. Got ready to wrap up another year, huh?
Yeah, no kidding, yeah.
And if we'll do communications and then go with Mike.
Approve minutes from the last meeting, approve travel and training, transfers and appropriations, under personnel, hire deputy clerks for Area 1 Court, Department of Development, execute contract, CDBG for sidewalk replacement, Granada Avenue, authorize commission president to execute home agreement for rehabilitation, approve rehabilitation fund servicing contract with Fifth Third Bank, under job and family services, approve increase of pay ranges and step for non-bargaining unit positions, under environmental services, approve one-year maintenance bond for public sewer line extension to estates of Shaker Run. Approve and execute agreements with Technology Recycling Group, GSPOH Incorporated, Jones Warner Consulting Group. And approve water and sewer extensions to Monroe Crossing Speedway Service Drive. Under the county engineer, award contracts to Eagles Guide Incorporated. Approve request of Milford Township to reduce load limits. Approve agreement with KZF Design, cancel maintenance bonds for four bridges, 13, 14, and 15, and also Creekside Metal Section 1, exchange bond for Marion Estate Section 5. Approve change orders 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 for Common Pleas, fourth floor remodeling. Approve reimbursement for workforce development team meeting. Accept resignation from Butler County Mental Health Board. Accept a resignation, two of them from Mental Health Board, and authorize execution of deed and lease with the State of Ohio for Liberty Interchange Project.
Move for approval.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Jolivet?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Eric. Next we'll have Mike Fox. Morning, Mike.
Morning. Mr. President, I want to begin my remarks this morning by thanking the commissioners. I thank each and every one of you for the opportunity to serve the children and families of Butler County. I also want to thank you for the support that our agencies receive from this commission. We could not ask for a better level of support. And each step along the way, since I became director, the commission has been there as a partner in not only giving support, but also giving direction. And it's in that context that I bring you the report on at least the first 100 days. Let me start with, in your packets is a graphic, a one page, it's filled with circles. And I think this tells the story of what we are attempting to do. We're building layers of safety and protection around those children that come under our jurisdiction and who are in our care. And as you can see, the elements that really matter, the family itself, the quality of the information, the casework that we do, the contact that we have with those children, the services that we provide to them and their families, and the technology that really serves as the central nervous system to bring it all together, determines really the quality of protection and safety we can give to each child. You have a number of items in your books. We have certain strategic priorities that have guided what we've done. They're listed in the outline document that's in your packet. And there are six of them. First is building partnerships. Second, making better use of resources. Third, improving quality and types of services. Fourth, improving productivity. Fifth, changing the culture. And sixth, adopting sound business practices. Under building partnerships, we started with staff, and you have the results of, and this was done at the direction of the commission. This was something that the commission, when I was asked to take on this job and given the responsibility, you all directed me to meet with each and every employee. This survey is the result of that work. I met with each of the 200 employees. They were asked to respond in writing to a series of questions prior to the meeting, and that their responses to those questions structured the conversation. Out of that came nearly 600 specific recommendations that came from a staff that represented over a millennium of experience, 1,013 years of experience. That's quite a reservoir of experience to draw on to really get to the answer to a simple question, which is, how can we do a better job protecting children and serving families? We also ask, and this is another document in your report, we ask them about the priorities that they would give in terms of the amount of, in other words, out of a list of 8 items. We asked them, you know, what were the most important in building a excellent organization? And as you can see, number one was performing with integrity. And number two was inspiring and motivating the employees. And number three was each person committed and contributing. We also asked them, and this was the purpose of this, was to identify who in the organization, if you're going to change the culture, who in the organization can you draw on that other employees respect and find inspiring. And when we summarized those results, we found that when asked who transmits positive energy, who they look to for someone in the workplace that kind of makes them feel better and makes them energized, 50% of those identified were their companions who were line staff. The other thing we asked them was, who do you look up to? And 60% of them identified a supervisor or a manager that they looked up to. So the information that we now have from our employees, we will use to start the process of taking action to put many of their ideas into action and into motion. We met with Miami University last week to form a partnership with them, and they will work with us to sort through each of these ideas and to create a framework through which they'll be evaluated and acted on. The other thing, and if there's one message that I have for you today that I think resonates and really is, if I were to look at the 100 days and say, you know what, there are a lot of good things that have happened, but if there is one thing that we've done, and again, this was in response to the direction of this commission, And not only the direction, but the insistence by some in the commission, and that is to do a better job using the resources. One of the conclusions that was drawn by the commissioner's task force last year was that this agency was top heavy. It had, compared to other child welfare agencies, far more people at administrative and management levels than others had. And when we went through and reviewed where resources were being allocated, we immediately were determined, as was directed by the commission, to redirect funds to direct service, to serving children, protecting children, and serving families. And I'm pleased to report to you that is what we've done. As of last week, we abolished two top administrative positions, effective December 31st of this year. The elimination of those two positions will free up $225,000 in 2008 that we can redirect to direct services. Secondly, prior to that, we abolished seven positions, reassigned one person on staff, redirecting funds to create new caseworkers. It was through that process that we were able to reduce caseloads that once fully implemented will be an average ratio of 1 to 12, and that's down considerably from 1 to 18. That was the average in February when report was done by the commission task force. In that, we shifted about $326,000 two casework positions. We also eliminated in that process two administrators, two managers over at Family Connections. That 1 to 12 ratio will make us pretty much among the leaders in Ohio as far as the quality of casework measured in terms of ratios. And no one caseworker will have more than 15 cases. The task force found that there were some caseworkers that had as many as 32 cases. That's impossible to manage. It was not unusual to have caseworkers that had 25, 23 cases. Impossible to manage. So by lowering the caseloads, we will improve the quality of service to children and families. And basically, we're lowering the caseload by about 33%, and that was done within the resources that were available, again, by eliminating management positions and other positions that weren't as important. I also want to thank the commission for taking responsibility for funding the ombudsman, the independent ombudsman, and taking that responsibility on and relieving the agency of the financial responsibility to carry that. As a result of the commission's action in that area, I can tell you that that money that was saved from the agency's budget was used to fund the 24-hour, 7 days a week on-site coverage for staff. And that was a significant addition to our ability to respond to children in need. When we proceed with working out all the merger benefits, there are two other management jobs that will be abolished, and there are other positions that will be shared that will result in a savings of $275,000 in 2008. The result of all this is nearly $1 million, and I'm looking for that next 30,000 or 21,000 to push us over the top, which is a practical matter. I have to tell you that I think we'll get out of cell phones. Deputy Director of Operations Tim Stolitka sent out a memo reminding people last 2 weeks ago that, or about a month ago, saying that, reminding them that you can't make personal calls on cell phones. And for some reason, it appears that our phone bill has dropped about $3,000 plus a month with as a result of one memo. So basically, I think we've saved over $1 million that will be available in 2008 to saved or redirected. As I mentioned in this summary, $479,000 has already been redirected for caseload reduction and the 24-hour on-site staff and phone coverage. But the message here is clear. In response to what the commission directed us to do, in response to what the public wants us to do, in response to some of the issues identified by the commissioner's task force, we are shifting resources away from administrative and management positions and investing them in positions that have direct contact and provide direct service to families. All in all, at the end of all of these shifts, here's what that will mean. When the commission task force did its study, and if you remember, Mr. Steen had looked at the resource allocation before, about 72% of the agency's budget was directed towards what they call direct service staff. The end of these changes that we've made, we're going to be right around 80% of our resources will be directed to direct service staff. And that is really going to be our number one priority. Now, we're also improving the quality and type of services through not only caseload reductions and the 24-hour on-site coverage, but the investigative resource unit and the background unit. Foster care recruitment needs to be a priority, and I commend this report to the commission to review and to give some thought to some of the savings that we have and the redirection, the money that out of this $1 million that can be used for other purposes. We would suggest that foster care recruitment be given a priority. We want to partner with the education systems. We've already started that process, conversations with the Education Services Center, and we want to invest significantly more in family preservation. Under the improving productivity, we are testing laptops and other electronic tablets for workers. We are looking to improve and working on information systems that will be integrated. You'll be seeing some direct results of that in the near future with a tracking system, a case tracking system, and a service tracking system. We have a court improvement project, mainly trying to improve productivity so that our work with the court does not is efficient for both sides, so that our caseworkers that go over there don't find themselves sitting for hours with downtime. And we want to and are working on establishing using a RAND Corporation model called Getting to Outcomes. We're working on a process that will enable us to identify specific benchmarks that we can come back and measure and tell you, well, here's how we're doing on these benchmarks. Changing the culture, let me tell you, that probably is going to be the toughest challenge that we have. We've done some things. We are now requiring that before any removal of a child is made, or shortly thereafter if it's impractical, that that family be brought in or invited in to participate in that decision. That was not done in the past. Secondly, there are reviews that occur every 90 days on a case. In the past, those reviews only involved staff, did not involve families. We are going to insist upon family involvement and to make sure they are invited to participate in the review process. We are making client records available to the clients on request. We've been doing that since I got there, the very first day. Client psychological evaluations. Used to be a big battle to get them. All they have to do is ask for them. We give them to them now. Something that I didn't realize would be so significant, but was, is we are allowing clients and families beyond the blue doors. The blue doors are those things you see in the lobby, and up until August 1st, when you appointed me, no client was allowed to meet with a director or any staff behind those blue doors. It all had to be done outside the agency or in the lobby area or in the room off of the lobby. And that is more as symbolic as it is substantive. We want to communicate to the community and to the families we work with that we are open and we are willing to partner with them. We are willing to work with them and engage them directly. And to have a policy that prohibits them from entering into the holy sanctum doesn't make sense if that's the type of agency you want to be. I have met with every family that has asked to have a meeting, and will continue to do so. We have some other processes that we'll be putting in place that will hopefully reduce the number of folks that even think they need to meet with the director. And we're going to set an agency-wide set of operating guidelines, or we have set an operating guidelines and principles which are similar to what you've seen before when I first came on board. And finally, adopting sound business practices. We're standardizing and clearly defining expectations. We are establishing meaningful guidelines and values we expect staff to follow. We're improving the process for evaluating employee performance. And we'll be improving our internal operating practices. So, in a nutshell, if I were to summarize the first 100 days, I would say to you that we have taken resources, reallocated them, redirected them, and made available up to $1 million to shift into direct services that make a difference for kids and families. And I believe that our staff has responded well. As you know, one of the concerns that a lot of folks had, given my history on this issue, was how that would go over with staff. I can tell you that in going through the meetings with staff, what struck me most was staff, to the person, is committed to serving the best interest of children and working with families. There may be differences in approach, but without question, they are dedicated and committed to that goal. This has never been a problem, this agency, bad followers. It's been a problem of bad leadership. And I want to end where I started, thanking the commission for the opportunity, and sincerely thanking you on behalf of the agency and our staff for your support. There is nothing that we have done, and there is nothing that we will do that is not the direct result of the action that this commission has taken. And to each and every one of you, children and families in Butler County are deeply indebted, because you've taken on this awesome responsibility, and you've made some tough decisions, and those decisions are going to pay dividends. And I'll end with this. No matter what our efforts might be, want to go back to this chart that I started with. We cannot predict, nor can we control evil. What we can do is do our best to build layers of protection for children and to surround them with good, strong systems that will lower their risk. We will do our best, and our job is to, in the event we have a child tragic event, to be able to look the community in the eye and say, we are doing our best to make sure that every child is protected and every resource that's available is being directed in the right way, at the right places, to try to avoid these tragic things. There is one other announcement I want to make, and this is as of today, and this is a direct result of what Commissioner Furman did with the CEGIS system and starting it immediately. And today, the Fairfield Municipal Court came online for CEGIS. We had the Sheriff's Office come online first with the jail and so forth. This is the first court in the county that is online. And believe me, that makes a big difference in our communications with the clients. And I really want to thank Judge Joyce Campbell for being as cooperative as she was. We're very close to having Hamilton online, and makes a big difference. And I'll end with this. It's amazing, you know, Commissioner Furman knows this. It's amazing that people lie when you ask them questions. And it's amazing how humbling it is when they realize that you have the tools and the resources to know if they're telling the truth. We can't predict what they may do tomorrow, but we can track down what they've done yesterday and the days before. And Officer Day, I can't tell you what an incredible impact having the background unit, having the tools that we're using has made on the quality of the work that caseworkers are doing. Had an occasion to meet with he and the ombudsman. Of course, this young woman went to the ombudsman crying about how mistreated she was. And they asked her specifically whether or not there were any other charges other than the child endangering charge that she was dealing with. And she says, oh, just only speeding tickets. Well, they checked her out, and the ombudsman showed her a printout of the history that Officer Day had gathered. It appeared to have some impact on her to see it all in black and white in one place. Bill said she did not deny anything. She just stared at it. Having the tools to do these background checks in a way they've never been done before, gathering that information is having a profound effect and makes a big difference. So, as one might have suspected, the meeting has gone longer than normal, but I'm available for any questions. Well,
thank you, Mike. And I just want to say that, you know, we haven't spent the last 100 days in a vacuum, at least I haven't, with your appointment. And I have heard nothing but good things from the staff and from community members on the performance that you're doing and the leadership that you're providing. And I think that your circles of protection is right on. And that's very impressed with that. And your emphasis on the child and family. And the families, you know, it's a traumatic time for a family to be at Children's Services. And if we remove the number one problem of saying, well, we can't get the information, or they're stonewalling us, or they just won't cooperate, that breaks down a lot of barriers towards reunification or just healing or recognizing that possibly there is a problem within the family. So that, I think, is very good. the caseworkers that you've implemented, you know, 1 through 12 from 1 to 18, tells volumes of how a caseworker is going to be able to have more time with that family and with that case. But one thing you didn't mention, which you instituted, which I thought was just right off the bat was very logical, is that each caseworker now is working in a geographic area that frees up a lot of time from previous caseworkers going all over the county in a day's time. I think that should be emphasized because that really does free up productivity. The court tracking system, I had an opportunity to talk to a member of the court, and they're very willing to sit down and to talk about the complexities that are involved in that. And I know that there's a lot of complexities from not only the Children's Services side, but the court side, and also from the attorney's side of different motions and different procedures that have to be adhered to and followed. So you're certainly on the right track of and want to thank you very much for your effort. I know from reports that, gosh, you're up at 8 o'clock and getting to work, and, you know, that's very, very good. And but
why is everybody laughing? I don't
know. But that's great. You look in good shape. You look like it's been good to you. There's one final thing that I want to say is about the $1 million worth of savings, and I'd like to have your comments about, you know, as I'm sure you'll be coming back to us in the before December 20th. With regards to our levy, that, you know, people could say, hey, they saved $1 million. What are they putting on a levy for? Why can't they continue to save? I think you need to address that today, just to clarify that, you know, that savings is good and it's going to be, as you say, redirected towards chosen to the services, direct services, but it also doesn't take care of the need that is going to be out there as this levy expires at the end of next year.
Well, the financing of the agency is very, very complicated and challenging. At present, to put this report in context, the agency will spend this year an estimated $1.2 million more than we are taking in revenue. So we start at $1.2 million in the red. We are drawing down from reserves that have built up from previous years to fund those services. What we know also is next year, in the normal course of things, just if you run personnel cost at the normal expected growth and increase, you're going to add another $400,000 to that deficit, if you will, just in personnel cost. Not hiring additional people. That's just the funding the ones that are there. In addition, the legislature changed the law regarding tangible personal property, and there we will start seeing a phase out of revenues that are currently available to us that'll not be available. And when that phase out is completed, that's another $2 million that will be lost out of the revenue stream to the agency.
Per year.
When it's all phased out, it's about $400,000 a year over a 5-year period. Now, so on one hand, I'm saying, okay, here's how we're doing with the money that we had that was budgeted, that was already available, and this year we're redirecting that money for these purposes, and we're putting it into direct service. We've not got to the discussion. We want to come back to you in a couple of weeks to specifically deal with the issue of the levy. Another thing that is in your your book, that there are two things that influence our finances most directly. The first is personnel, and the second is what we call placement cost. 70% of our children, this is going to be, I mentioned foster care, recruiting foster parents in Butler County. 70% of our children are currently placed out of county. That not only means, back to the productivity issue, that our staff that's following up to check on those children have to go sometimes as far as Toledo, Cleveland, Warren, Ohio, to check these children each month. A lot of staff time, but they're also children that are high-cost kids. We are having conversations with a number of folks to say, how can we bring these kids home? But to put it in perspective, if we were to reduce the number of children in foster care by 10%, that would free up about $1 million. It's about $11 million a year is what it's costing us in placement cost. So I'm glad you asked the question, because no one should look at the, quote, savings. We basically, what I call savings, is money that was being spent one place. We're now redirecting it to an area that we believe will be better for kids. If we were to not have, we still have the challenge of filling the gap in the operating budget. And we won't have the reserve forever, so we're able to draw down on the reserve now. But after 2008, that reserve is chewed up.
Right. And that's by design with every levy.
It gets into
towards expiration, you draw down on those reserves, and then we have to go out to the public and ask them.
Absolutely. It's the way property taxes, right. The way property taxes work.
Well, thank you, Mike. Good work.
Mr. President?
Chuck?
First of all, I'd like to acknowledge Dan Hare from the task force and done a great job. Did you want to say something, Dan, before we continue? Is that okay?
That's fine.
Dan, go ahead. Is that okay, Dan?
Sure. Appreciate the opportunity to address you today. As the former chair of the commissioner's task force, I feel compelled to share a few thoughts today. First, my thoughts are based on my interactions with Mike Fox the past 100 days and what I heard today. And I commend Mike and the agency for the steps that they have taken. If you recall, our task force had four major recommendations, and I would like to just briefly enter those into the record so that we don't forget why all this came about. The first recommendation was to merge the Children's Services with the Job and Family Services, assuring that the safety and nurturing of children under its care. And how many times did we hear today talking about protection of children, which is its ultimate responsibility? Strengthening families and supporting those who care for our children. How many times have we heard about program changes that address that issue? Providing leadership to harness community resources to achieve these goals. The second major recommendation was to have an independent ombudsman. That has been accomplished. Third goal recommendation was that the operations be audited at least once every 2 years, programmatically and financially. And we have had some new numbers shared with us. That's the first time that the agency has been this open with these things. I'm sure that they can be verified, but we look forward to those two-year audits to come down the road. And lastly, our recommendation was to not put the levy on the ballot in November of 2007. We felt it was important that the agency demonstrate to the public that it has improved its stewardship of funds. We've had a taste of that today, and I expect that we will have more of that information coming forward before the decision is made to put the levy on the ballot in March. We expected the agency to have developed accurate forecast of finances and identifying the projected balance for which the levy expires. We've heard that today. And one of the important things that was included in that recommendation on the levy was that there should be no assumption that the current millage is adequate or appropriate. And you gentlemen just addressed that with some of your questions, and Mike addressed that in his forecast. So on behalf of the task force, I'd like to commend Mr. Fox and the commissioners for taking the steps that they have. You have followed the roadmap that was instituted in that report, and there's many things beyond that report that have been addressed as well, and we're pleased to hear we're moving forward and in the right direction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dan, I appreciate that and appreciate the job that you and the task force have done. And if, I'd like for you to stay in touch with Mike and on an ongoing basis, just to make sure that, that we're all on the same page, if that's okay with Mike.
It's not been a problem, and Mike has been to every one of our executive director meetings, which began at 8 a.m., and I have to report that he even beat me there one morning, and I'm pretty punctual, and I was disappointed that at 5 to 8 he was already there. So let there be no misunderstanding about Mike's dedication and willingness to do the job and engage the right people. So thank you.
If I may continue, Mike, you and your staff have done an outstanding job in a short period of time. I've personally felt comfortable and knew that we would be here with good results in a short period of time. But I'm very proud of the changes and the direction that we're going at this time. I'd also like for you to, if you would, to keep pressure on the contacts that you have at state level for the state reporting system. As you know, state reporting and even cross-reporting has been in place in many states for 10 to 15 years. It's nothing new, and why we can't get things rolling in Ohio is just beyond me. So keep the pressure on so we can get that, if you will. And it also appears that the relationship between law enforcement and children's services has improved dramatically. And I think a lot of that we can thank Officer Gary Day for, as well as his hard work to accomplish capturing lead system that we have now in the Children's Services. That is something that, to my knowledge, it hasn't been done in any of the Children's Services. We have Sheriff Jones to thank for that, and the cooperation from the state level and the state patrol for that. So many, many great things have happened and are happening, and I just commend you, and it's a pleasure working with you.
Mr. President?
Yes.
I want to say something about leads, because there is, as Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story. And when we first applied for the leads access, Officer Day came in my office one afternoon, and he was really down. And you know, as an investigative resource officer, his job is to find out stuff. And he had done some checking, and he came in, he says, we're not going to get it. His sources had told him that it was not going to be approved, and they had decided to say no. And we sat and we talked, and so I said, well, let's just call him. So Officer Day and I called, was it up there at that office? I forget his, I don't know what he was. Some
Grimwood.
And I can tell you, they were not, they were highly suspicious of us and were not inclined to support it. And they agreed to send one of their staff people down to meet with us. And I know that folks in the sheriff's office, because of the nature of that system, and they were not, it was an uphill climb. And so when we had that meeting, I have to tell you that it is, Officer Day and I have thought about this, we would not have had that if you hadn't have been there, Commissioner Furman. It would not have happened, because your background in police work, sitting at that table, being able to answer the questions and to give them a comfort level that we are going to follow the rules, and that is our direction, and we will follow the rules. A lot of people have placed trust in us and the use of that resource. That resource is very, very important to improving our ability to protect children and make sure they're safe. But I want to emphasize that your presence in that meeting, I think, made all the difference. We had a good team. We had Officer Day. We had the sheriff. But I can tell you that I know that that person, that young lady, walked away from that meeting, and the concerns that they had had, that your ability to express knowledge and understanding persuaded them that it was okay to do. And I just want you to understand that that made a big difference, without question.
Mike, I appreciate that, and we're fortunate to have the system. But I can understand their concerns, obviously, and none of us would want the integrity of that system to be harmed in any way. And that's what they have to make sure of. And obviously, with Gary's background and as many times as it's been important to us and other law enforcement to use that, you have to have it. I mean, information is a lifesaver. So obviously, they have to be sure that all their T's are crossed and their I's are dotted. And it's not just it was not a Mickey Mouse interview by any means. I've been in a lot of interviews, but they did not hold any punches. And I'm glad, because it's obvious that they have to maintain the integrity of the system. So we're very fortunate, and I think it will definitely pay dividends, and we're honored that they would give it to us, and we will definitely protect it in every way possible.
And we want to know, I can tell you, just this one change, the Investigative Resource Unit, and I'm sure you folks in the press get tired of hearing this talk, but you have to understand that you look at these circles of protection. Information is critical, having good information. We have a case that I'll be working on when I go back to the office today. Long story short, we're ready to move this child back to its mother to reunify them. Find out late Friday afternoon that there's apparently a boyfriend living with the mom. And so we do a record check on this person, and it's pretty ugly. And this is something we did not know up until Friday afternoon. The caseworker didn't know. And so reaching out, and this morning we come in, have Officer Day do a check. And now that caseworker will have information in dealing with that mother that in other words, absent this resource, would not have had, would have just kind of hopefully stumbled on it. But those are the types of, you want to know who's around that child and what is their background. And having somebody that's had several domestic violence charges, aggravated felonious assault, a host of other charges around the child, is not particularly, when it's not the father, I mean, you know, it's bad enough when it's a biological parent, but you certainly don't want to add that level of risk. So you want to eliminate that risk. And the other thing I want to emphasize, this is just the beginning. We have a long way to go to get where we need to be. But this is a good beginning. But there's lots to come. And I do want to say that we talked about building partnerships. One of the things I want to do is get to a point where the public feels, the public needs to understand the challenges that our caseworkers face every day. They are awesome decisions that they're forced to make. And the more the public understands that, I think the better off we'll all be, better off the kids will be. But we're just going to do our best. We're going to do our best.
Mike, with the technology, and commend you for getting the leads, and Chuck and his leadership. How close are we to having the foster parents be under the system where, even if they've gotten a call for noise, the agency will know about it?
Well, let me back to what Commissioner Furman mentioned about the police tracking system. There are a number of states that do this. It's easy to do. Why the state of Ohio does not do this is beyond comprehension. You've got two databases that are easily merged. We have, in earnest, offered to pay for it. I mean, it will not cost but a few thousand dollars to do this. This is not one of those million-dollar deals. It would be cheaper for us to pay to do that, frankly, than it is to do what we're doing, building our own network. You've got, BCI has a list of all the criminal records. The Department of Jobs and Family Services has a list of all the people who are licensed foster care providers. All you have to do is merge those lists. That's all you have to do. You have to do what CJIS is doing. What CJIS does is that. Now, that will not get the police contact, the tracking. We are building the system to do that, and I'm hoping by the second quarter next year, by the end of June or whatever, we'll have that in place. But again, it'll be like CJIS. We're going to start. We've had Bob Gordon over that understands, Officer Gordon that understands the Hamilton system. He's looked at our system, looked at theirs, and so we're already building. Gary is working on that, and
it seems like it'd be very simple.
It is simple.
Because, you know, if the person is stopped for a traffic violation, the officer knows whether he has a concealed carry permit. So right before he goes up to the car, he knows it. So it seemed to me that if we put all the foster families in the database, when a police officer is called to such and such address, they know, hey, this is a foster parent.
Exactly. The system already exists to do that.
Mike, I wonder if possibly Senator Case could work with Senator Niehaus and see if they could put pressure on, or at least get some cooperation from Governor Strickland to get some pressure put on for this.
I think that you've got... they have an opportunity. I think Senator Cates, I've had conversations with Senator Cates. I've talked to Representative Coley and to Representative Combs about the idea of amending these two bills that are going right now. Senator Niehaus and the other one, Wagner, I think it is just to put that in as mandated language, which would be very, very simple to do. That would really make that legislation very meaningful. I think I know the commission has requested this before, but anything you can do to formally, again, bring it to the attention of the legislative delegation,
should we send them a letter?
Would be helpful. I think so. Thank
you. Would be okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Just do it again.
Yeah.
And as Commissioner Jolivet said, they already do it with concealed carry. So you could add a place in there for licensed foster parents and people under investigation by the agency. You could put them in those two categories. We've already had, Gary, I think we've already had a couple instances where we were able to track that, didn't we?
Yes, through the Butler County Sheriff's Office, which we already have. We've had four hits.
That's great.
And you want to know that. You want to know if someone you've entrusted a child to, and I want to emphasize this, always comes out in the press that he's looking at foster parents, which we are. But the real value of this is on those who are under investigation, those names that we add into the system, because we want to know who, if we've got somebody in the household, and I'm amazed at how... As you know, we've arrested about, I don't know, three people, and Gary went into that came that had warrants that we didn't know about. And now that we're doing the discipline of checking, these things start to pop up. And people's status change right in the middle of these cases. We had one kid in a home where the father, who was a really bad guy, beat up the teenage daughter, and then boom, he's not for that, but for a really serious other crime, is arrested for a felony, and he's on his way back to prison. But so having the ability with that link to the sheriff's department gives us that information right away.
Mike, I know you've been thinking that you're going to get out here without me asking you a question about money, but I'm not going to let you go.
Hey, I'm just happy to get out without a beating.
Well, I think you got the program.
You know, the message comes through loud and clear.
Well, let me tell you, a lot of people come up here before us, and they give us a good speech, and it's kind of a dog and pony show. But, you know, we really do know what's going on, and we do know that you and your staff out there is doing a wonderful job. And I know that because, you know, I call you all times a day and night when I think of something. And the night before Thanksgiving, I called at, 7 o'clock, 7:30, about an idea or a question I had, and you were still at work. And the question involved someone else on your staff that needed the answer, and you said, well, I can ask them. They're right here. Now, the night before Thanksgiving, think about that, 7:30. Who's if that's not dedication, I'm not sure what is. But so to you and your staff, wonderful job. I've experienced the blue doors. I know what that means. You know, I went out there. Nobody knew who I was. But I couldn't get through the blue doors. I'm glad you changed that policy. At least I can get back to see you. That you know I'm coming. The other thing is two other real important issues. One is that this redirection of finances is. I mean, I know it's just the beginning. You know, and when I look at, I mean, we have redirected $1 million to go into direct services to helping kids. I mean, hands-on stuff, reducing caseloads. I think it's just the beginning. I really do. I mean, I think there's more there, and I think we have to keep focused on that. And I understand the need for additional funds, and this is where I'm going with this. We are in the process, beginning tomorrow, of going into the field to ask Butler County citizens what they feel we need to do, what they think we need to do, and what they want us to do. We're asking for some input from the people who pay the bill. That'll start tomorrow, and I think it's real important that we ask our residents to please take the time to tell us what their vision is for children's services, for a better children's services. And I know it's going to take 10 or 15 minutes in a survey, and nobody really wants to spend the time because we're all busy and got things to do, but I think it's real important that we send that message out and ask voters, please, if they get the phone call, take the time, tell us what you think, tell us what direction you think we ought to go, and we can continue to make headway I can't say enough about you and your staff. They're just, it's like turning a Titanic, but I mean, I think it started to turn. So you're there, and I appreciate everything you guys do.
Well, and Derek has been wonderful to work with. He's been a great mentor to me because this is a different gig for me. This is a very different role. So,
well, Mike, you know,
we work together as a team, and I appreciate that.
I was sitting here thinking about that. I go back about 27 years ago when I first met you, when I came to Monroe as a city manager and you were a state rep. And then, you know, I got the opportunity to work with you for 9 years or so as a county commissioner. Both of those roles you've done very well at. But I really believe now, Mike, you found your calling. I think you finally, in all the good deeds you've done in the past, I think this role you're in now is the summit, and I think you're going to make a wonderful change for kids in Butler County.
Well, I can't overemphasize this. The people, the time that I took, and this was an idea that came right from this commission when I was in the interviews about sitting down with every employee. It came from right here. And when I met and had the time to talk to these employees, they're just great people. And we now have strong support from this commission. We have good, solid leadership in direction. We've got a good team. So, as you know, having been in this business, you're only as good as the people that you work with. And I'm fortunate to work with a lot of really good people.
The other thing I thought was funny is that Mike and I have this kind of rolling joke about stuff, but you know, I used to call him up and say, hey, boss, how you doing? Now he calls me up and says, hey, boss, how you doing? And I go, say that again, Mike. That sounds so good.
Well, Mike, I want to thank you for coming and giving us a report on your first 100-plus days. And want to let everyone know that this report will be online for people to view, and also on our website, and I imagine maybe your website. And also to follow up with what Commissioner Dixon said, that, you know, if the citizens want to comment, they can email us through the website to give us their opinions, which is will be very helpful to us as we move forward. And look forward to seeing you. I know we have December 20th deadline coming with the levy decision. So look forward to seeing you another week or a week and a half to talk about that. Thank you very much. Anyone else have anything before the commission on any topic?
I'd like to welcome Fairfield City's new school board member, Jerome Kearns.
Yeah, Jerome.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Jerome. Yes.
Good luck to you, Jerome. Anything else?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Dixon?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Commissioner Donovan?
Yes. Thank you.